With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Winspiration, the way to the essential. On UK Health Radio, Winspiration brings wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. Together, we can shape the world we want to live in. So let's get real and create the idea. Be extraordinary.
Welcome to another episode of Winspiration Radio. And today, we will discuss something. Last week, you heard, could listen to Mark Peters, the incredible guy. Well, world best, simply the best, like he said, and it's really true, one of the best photographers at his time. And for 25 years, he was a superstar in the industry. And when you listen to the story, you know, he had interesting stories. Super highs, super lows. Really, he showed the bandwidth of life. And it's easy then to be captured by the stories, overwhelmed by the stories. And I got him to know via, as I said also, via the book and Leslie Downey. And before the session, we met in South Africa in a kind of pub. And with me was my friend Steve Mahave. You had him here also in one session also. And we were maybe 2 hours or whatever, really in deep conversation with Mark and just listening to his stories. And afterwards we said, wow, so many interesting stories and full of lessons what we all could learn out of it. But easily we don't take the lessons because we are just listening to the stories. And now, after last week having him in the interview here for the radio, once again, Steve and I said we need to talk about it and all the lessons. And so I welcome once again my friend and super coach, Steve Harvey, and he experienced Mark Peters' life. And they both have Scottish blood. Steve is from Scotland and Mark Peters has Scottish blood. And you will later realize what had really importance is that Mark could do all the work. So welcome, Steve, again. So I shared something about Mark, where maybe you start. What was your impression from our first meeting with him?
Hi, welcome, Wolfgang. It's nice to be back again. Yeah, the meeting with Mark Peters at Triggerfish Pub was really quite incredible, and I could have listened to him, you know, for hours and hours. But as you mentioned, you know, we both realized, yeah, the stories were really amazing. However, there were so many golden nuggets hidden in there of life lessons that, as he told them from his experience of being a war correspondent and journalist photographer, having covered 16 wars and having been sentenced to death 3 times. And I think he photographed 4 presidents as well. And of course, the famous photograph of Nelson Mandela walking free. I mean, so many of his stories were from the war zone. But when I was listening to him, I felt those same lessons are applicable to everyday civilian life, you know. And so we started to, you know, sort of dissect his stories and try to find where were the key points, what were the key lessons that are, as I say, applicable to everyday life. You know, they say that adversity introduces a man to himself. I think it was Einstein said that. And obviously, Mark Peters went through an incredible journey over the years. And I think as a result of that adversity and facing adversity, you know, head on, he really was introduced to himself. And listening to his stories of, you know, how did he deal with a war zone and split-second decision-making and going from a war zone, transitioning back into everyday life, you know, from chaos to order, from lawlessness to law, you know, to a war zone, to safety, you know, the transitions that it may not seem as if it's in our life as much, but it's still there. You know, we still have to make these transitions and, you know, experience the duality that we live in.
Yes.
But how do we transcend that duality into the oneness? And that was a lot of the what I was...
Just have the awareness of the polarity.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't see us one polarity life or whatever. He shared that he, with 9 years... slept on a cemetery and being asked why he's doing it, said, I wanted to overcome fear. And that for sure we hear through all the stories that seem somehow kind of purpose of life. Well, but every question is not just for Mark. Could we see when we aware enough as adults, maybe with every 9-year-old, there is already the purpose you can see?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think deep down inside, most people do know what their purpose is, but they're afraid to go after it.
Yeah. Well, that is the lesson. We watch it. Yeah. Interesting for me was when I was in Kenya with the Maasai and realizing there they told me kids get a name when they're 13 or 15, because then we know who this person is. Then we know the character. Yeah. So that's really... yeah, something different. Like in our culture, you get a name before you're born, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, coming back to Mark, where he shared also he comes also a little town from the bushes, so from nowhere, nobody could expect from there being a kind of really world-famous person. So that was also an interesting story for one lesson. Is it doesn't matter where you start. It's always important where you go. Yeah? What is all possible? And the extreme living on Table Mountain as a homeless person for a year, and then 6 years later in one of the best apartments and suites in Cape Town. So it's you never know what will come.
Yeah, you never know what's around the corner. And it's also, I think, the lesson of realizing that you don't have to settle for what is.
Yeah.
You know, you can change it if you want. You're not, the old saying is you're not a tree, you know?
Mm.
And so how many people end up settling?
Mm-hmm. You know,
I think that's a epidemic in the world right now. There's so many people don't dare to go after their dreams in life. And so they end up settling for mediocrity, you know? And I think that's a terrible crime in itself, you know?
Yes, for sure. Because when you said going after the dream, I even believe more is not just going after the dream, is living your true self. Because if the real dream coming from inside, it's an intrinsic motivation. And then it's ignoring your true self.
And I think that's the driver for everything, is when you're really in touch with your true self.
Yeah.
Then I think then a lot of things start to, it's almost like they start to happen by default.
Yeah.
That you're not actually
putting
a lot of effort into making it happen. It just starts to unfold in front of you when you're living in your true self, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a very important lesson for people to, how do they get into that place of living from their true self?
Yeah. That's his. When he lived on the Table Mountain, sorry, you wanted to add something?
I was just going to say, versus trying to live according to other people's expectations of, well, you should live your life.
Yeah. You know? Because in the end, I believe it's very simple to stay to true self if you ignore the others. Yeah. Then it makes it easy. But also when he said in Living on the Table Mountain, it's not only just waiting for something better. He lived in the presence and could also collect the good out of this situation. Yeah, because there's no situation without good. So he lived the presence and everything there. And it sounds a little bit maybe funny, but great sunsets and everything, super views. Oh, gosh, some people need to pay millions to have this view, huh?
Right.
So it's really interesting how he all handled the day-to-day of extreme living in the presence. Huh?
Yeah. And it's funny you say that, because I remember when I was when I first did some work down in the Caribbean, and I was asking some of the local staff of this hotel, they never think of leaving. You know, it was a tiny island they were on, and I was, you know, caught up in my my story of what I thought they should be doing. And yep. I was asking them, "You ever want to leave? Don't you ever want to go and visit this country or that country?" And I remember one girl said to me, "Why?" She said, "You realize that all the guests in this hotel are spending thousands of dollars every night to come here. Why would I want to leave?"
Yes.
And that's when I started to see that, you know, there is a benefit and a drawback to everything. No matter where you are in life, whether you're in a piece of paradise, you know, like a you know, beautiful Caribbean island, or whether you're in, you know, a housing scheme in Glasgow, Scotland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's still a benefit and a drawback to every place you're at. And I think when you can really learn to love what is in the moment, then you can move forward in completeness and in wholeness. Otherwise, it's almost as if you're dragging some baggage with you everywhere you go, like a ball and chain, something you're trying to get rid of, versus when you truly love it, you don't need to get rid of anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you just said that when you're living your true self, you don't need to bother about anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It drops away on its own because you're focused on, you know, your purpose.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of something what I saw on Mark then as well. A lot of people say, I can't say no. And I tell them, that's not true. Your problem is not saying no. Your problem is you didn't say yes to something. Because if you really say yes to something, the no's just happens. And that is what I see with Mark. He said yes to something all the time. And that's why it was so clear what worked for him. And if we just take the story with the president, he's so committed to making good photos. It doesn't matter what Secret Service says. He is an extraordinary light coming in. And here is the desk from Abe. Abraham Lincoln, and here is a president. What a constellation to make a good photo. So, can I shut up? No, my purpose here is making good photos. So, and then he talks to the president. And that is so, nobody else can tell him something. That is really incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was also another lesson there was about never putting people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
No matter who they are.
Yeah.
You know, because if we put them on a pedestal, we minimize ourselves relative to them.
Yeah.
And they will never follow what our request is. And so rather than putting the president on the pedestal, he put him in his heart. Because as you said, he just was focused on the best possible photograph to tell the story.
Yeah,
and so I think that was the difference, and you know the reason why the president was okay with it, and yet, as we both know, the Secret Service guy,
oh,
the,
mm-hmm.
yeah, You know, so where was the lesson with him?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why it was very important. He's not only asking. And so there is something different in the energy that he says something and the president makes a kind of nearly funny remark. How does it feel to say to the most powerful man this and that? And he joked back with the put your butt there. And it is, there's somehow aligned, yeah, and a kind of form of togetherness that you can't mess up there. Yeah. Both had fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's when, you know, when you mentioned at the beginning about the Scottish blood. I think that's a trait that we Scots have.
Yes, I know you have.
But we don't. Yeah, we don't take ourselves too seriously, and we don't take other people too seriously. And we have a way of really connecting with people from a heart-centered place.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, trying to look up to them and put them on a pedestal. It's like, you know, there's a saying in Glasgow that they say, "Don't forget where you came from. Who do you think you are?" They've got a great way of bringing you down when you're starting to get high and mighty on yourself, you know? So, yeah, and I think that's
the thing is, probably, it's more, Steve, it's more. When we see also people bending spoons and everything, yeah, it is not having them on the outside because it's only working if you become the spoon. Yeah, you are the spoon of putting, like you said, put it in your heart.
Right.
And then you can do things together. That's what people...
Yeah.
Share when they with wild animals or whatever, and on a totally connection. So if you can do this, then it works with the president as well.
Yeah. It works with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so often we put people on the pedestal, but then eventually we end up putting them in the pit.
Yeah.
You know? And the real, they say that, the way I try and live my life is to don't put them in a pedestal, don't put them in a pit. No one's better than you. No one's worse than you. But put them in your part, and where you really get to meet them, but you also get to meet yourself at another level. You know?
Yes. Yeah. When I said, right, I'm share this also in former times and in what it was kind of sales training. If you put the other person on a pedestal, don't wonder if they don't want to make... contract with you, sale with you, because why you should do a sale with someone who comes in and says, "I'm worth nothing." Yeah. So it doesn't work.
Yeah.
On the same level, hey, there you can have good cooperation. And this level of cooperation also, when we just take the Washington story, and he was there with Mandela. Yeah. And, and then they had this ticket parade and da, 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 da. And Mark was not really interested in being in the parade. That it's not his, he preferred the war than the parade, I guess. Was more used to that. And when Mandela then says, "Oh, go, you go in the car behind me." He said, "No, no, Secret Service." But Mandela said, "This guy goes behind me." And then he was waving. Yeah. And all, suddenly the parade, everything, everybody was waving. And he shared then in the hotel room, he switched on the TV and saw himself then waving and then always like news already repeating. And so he was a couple of times, I guess, waving. And then comes a phone call, and there's Mark Peters, and Mandela was on the phone. And "Do you watch TV? It looks like you enjoyed it, huh?" So, and also... super leadership. It's not only just Mark with the president. So here's another president and says, "Mark, you so important for me that I call you just because of that." And I think that is a big lesson for us also in this all, why Mandela was so successful uniting somehow the Rainbow Nation, or could avoid so much war. And it's just really... impressive.
Because I think people could relate to him, you know, on a human level.
Yes.
You know, whereas so many leaders are, "I'm up here and they're down there." But I think what makes great leaders is that ability to connect with people at a heart-centered connection. And I think, you know, obviously Nelson Mandela was a master at that.
Mandela and Mark, in this way, have something, I think, in common. They're going for principles and not for rules.
Right.
Yeah, even yeah. If we have in the interview when we filmed it also, one Newsweek cover was ready to rule with Mandela. So ready, okay, to become president. But always, if you stick to the principles, then, yeah, okay, we can still have enemies who don't like it. But then nobody can really be pissed off with you because it's truth. Yeah, it's just the truth.
That's it. But so many people are caught up on doing what they think is right or wrong.
Yeah.
That's just coming from truth. And it doesn't matter what school of thought you come from or what holy books you've read, everything says the same thing. It's the truth that sets you free.
Yes.
You know? And so when you live from a place of truth and from principles, then I think, again, everything just starts falling away.
Yeah. And this is the story with the president and the Secret Service. Also, the president moved. The president talked with Mark. They joked together. But Secret Service said before, don't talk with the president. So Secret Service was now in stress. We keep up with the rules. And the president even said, yeah, they said, I'm the most powerful man in the world. But Secret Service said, nay, not you. We need to fight for the...
he wanted to become the most powerful man.
Yes, and just... so they try to get the company to fire Mark because he just talked to him and I don't know what the real rules said, didn't want to show that the president can make a joke or move or whatever. Crazy. Yeah. So the powerful man is doing something and the Secret Service is not, punish him. Crazy, crazy, crazy weakness. Just for going for the rule and not saying, wow, this. Okay. Somehow they won because Mark needed to leave then the U.S. for that. But they lost because he was not fired. Because also the owner and let's say the CEO of Newsweek and the owner, the lady which owned also the Washington Post at the time says, nope, we stick with the principles. And we don't fire him. Yeah, he is okay. And sent in somewhere else. It's really, really interesting. What all in just a simple story all is. But anyway, it may be also interesting. Let's make a short break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, so what else was for you in a story which is still in your system?
Well, again, I kept thinking about about life in the war zone. And so then I was thinking about where do we live in a war zone? Ourselves, you know, and I thought anytime we're arguing with reality, we're living in a war zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anytime we think life should be different than what it is, mm-hmm. that's a war zone. That's insanity. And so everything that Mark was dealing with, you know, some of the things he was talking about and the lessons that I was sort of trying to pull out of that, well, facing the fear and doing it anyway of split-second decision-making. You know, he spoke about at one point he was running down the street when the machine guns were firing, the bullets were whizzing past his head, and he made a decision in the split second to go right instead of left. And if he had gone left, he wouldn't be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so how many times do we make decisions in our life that completely change the trajectory of our life?
Yeah. Right?
And if we had made another decision, what would have happened? You know, and so I think there was a lot of lessons from his stories that we can.
And always make a decision, not hesitate. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, again, that's the fear that a lot of people have as well. They're afraid to make any decision, so they don't make a decision at all, and they stay stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what is it that Think and Grow Rich just spoke about, you know, that successful people have the ability to make decisions fast and very seldom change their mind, whereas unsuccessful people tend to take forever to make a decision and change their mind often, you know. But you don't have that privilege to do that in the middle of a war zone when bullets are flying past your head. You know, should I go left? Should I go right? You know? So it's a heightened sense of awareness that you must develop in the war zone.
Yeah, I think it's something what before, with his LSD technique, now the lights, situation, distance, he had a clear purpose why he's going there. See, he knew what he wanted there. And therefore, he could make the decision. And this light situation distance, he could go there and ignore left and right. And when I asked people today, what is the most important person you know? Name five. They can be dead. Well, you don't need to know them personally. But come up in your head with five very successful persons. So if you have the five, how is it? Is it easy to get an appointment? Most people say, nah, not really. And if you get an appointment, how many hours you have to socialize and then maybe one day come to a point? No. You need to be there. What today is Gary Vaynerchuk, Steve Jobs, all those people, Elon Musk, they have mainly the 3-minute rule. If you're not in 3 minutes capable. So, now we talked about saying yes or no. They know what they want because they know exactly what they want. They can make fast decisions.
Yeah.
If you don't know what you want, how can I decide?
Huh?
And that's why they also so successful. They're not wasting time. Oh, this is interesting. Or this is, I can look at this Facebook, blah, 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 blah. No. And for Mark, in those stressy situations, that was the only way to really survive and get what he wanted, always the exclusives. Yeah.
And I think that's when a lot of people are focused on what they don't want.
Yes.
That's just what they do want.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
And they come up with all sorts of excuses of why they can't go after, you know, their goals, their brains. But they're focusing on what they don't want. And if Mark Peters was to focus on all the bullets all the time, he would never go after getting the photograph.
Yeah.
Because,
And no, thinking, oh, this guy should help them, but he'll do that. Forget it. Right? So he needed to be focused on what he really, really, really wanted. And that is the privilege. And then comes something that's hard to prove, but I heard a lot of stories, also war situations. Dr. West once told us, I guess you were in the room as well, that he knew someone that was Iraq or whatever war, and this person was there to bring people out of the war. So extreme dangerous situations. And normally it's not possible. But if we understand more about quantum physics or whatever, time bending and blah, 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 what is all possible, they were so focused that they somehow could go through and nothing happened. And this is something also with the power of focus, Marquez, that he could stay there and nearly nothing happened. It was dangerous situations, extremely dangerous situations. But in the end, the main damage, from my perspective, yes, is more an emotional one. Yeah. After all, seeing this. But okay, I go there. Yeah. The bullet goes on the side. because he's so tuned in that he just knows, huh? The knowingness. He is the knowingness. What we have, when we talk about consciousness, I'm the knowingness. Yeah? So he is so tuned in. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. It's almost as well that he becomes a neutral observer of everything that's going on around.
Yeah.
You know, it's like practicing the Gyan Yoga, where you become the witness to everything, all the vast range of emotions and experiences that life throws your way. You're able to sit in your center and be the witness to it all.
Yes.
And I think, and it's from that place he's acting. Because he also told the story at Triggerfish about the man that managed to escape. The village was being attacked, and he managed to escape, but his wife and his child were left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark said to him, okay, let's go get them.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, you're out of your mind. And away he went, and they crawled through the river over to the other side in darkness and whatever, and managed to find the guy's wife and child and bring them back to safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was so much more than just a war correspondent. You know, he really was a hero as well.
And, yeah.
But again, that was coming from his heart.
Yeah.
Of trying to be of service to his fellow man, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's sharing, what he's saying again and again with the heart. Might share the story with Mother Teresa, and what is the take out of this situation for you?
Yeah, I mean, I remember him telling the story at Triggerfish, but then when I heard it again yesterday when he did the interview with him, and my wife and I sat and listened to it, you know, when he had given Mother Teresa his business card, and then he turned away and he turned in and he called her by her own name, and she hadn't. She said that, Mark Peters, I don't know when the last time someone ever called me by my old name, which was Agnes.
He called her Agnes, yeah.
Agnes, yeah. And she says, I'll never forget your name, Mark Peters. And I looked over to my wife, and she looked at me, and both of us had tears in our eyes, because it really was a heartfelt connection. As she said, she'll never forget his name, and he will never forget hers, you know. And how many times do we are lucky enough to experience that with people in life, to truly get a heartfelt connection?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we've lost that to a degree, because so many people are using relationships to try and get something.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
and it's also why you and Pat was close to tears, because you could feel the frequency.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's what it was. It was a frequency that he was operating at. And then again, he told the story about saving a young girl's life in the morning and burying another young girl's body in the ground in the afternoon, all on the same day. That was just incredible. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that story.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And when in the morning stuff, it was finding then a young girl, and then realizing under the dress there was a just young born baby, and it was even still connected with the mom. So taking her and running around in a kind of war situation, knowing somewhere there should be the Red Cross, and running there, and then handing her the mother, the young mother was nearly a kid, maybe raped or whatever before, what is it? Then the Red Cross could save her. So that's why he is. I saved a baby's life, and. Then when he wanted, after the heavy day, relax a little bit, and he had the connection with another girl having kind of bundle, and he opened it up, and there was that baby. And just realizing, whoa, that is life. You get, in this way, you get it both on the same day. Sean That is so really, really something that's to do. But that is what he experienced, and you can see all his life. Like I said, the amplitudes of the high and lows and everything, or if you say duality, the polarities, whoa.
Yeah.
Experienced an extremely intense life, and then he was always really, really, really into it. That is really something special. Okay, let's have another break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yo, okay, let's come to something else. We are having also this year filmed, and those who get later see the film, they see I'm wearing a T-shirt I got for Mark with his super photo, The Best Wishes from Mandela. This is a world-famous photo. Most people know it. Mandela comes out of prison and the fist in the air, and Mark shot it. And this is also, for me, something extremely interesting, the story. Like Newsweek, the magazine normally comes out on a Saturday. And Mandela should leave the prison on Sunday. So it was the second time the Newsweek said, we postpone our magazine coming out for a day. Well, what a pressure, yeah, for responsibility on his shoulders. Now everybody is looking to you, Mark, that you bring a photo that it was worthwhile, yeah, to hold it back because they're expecting ideally a cover. Yeah. Right. And then the story goes, like he shared it also in the interview, the night before he met a friend, there was some drinking and was supposed to leave prison 10 o'clock. And Mark wakes up because the hotel didn't wake him up. The wake-up call didn't function or whatever. Or he didn't hear it. I don't know. 11 o'clock. An hour after Mandela should have left the prison already. Shock. Yeah. And then checking phone and then says, no, he is not out yet. Oof. First relief. But then rushing, showering fast and rushing to the place where he should come out. And then, because everybody can understand, even if we were not there, thousands or whatever, or maybe too little, but hundreds of international photographers were there to get the right photo. And he, because he was late, he sees before him an Italian group, wanted to go somewhere through this, and there's and there's the whatever a special place where all the photographs were, that they can see from there and make photos from there. So I don't know how many from all over the globe, everybody, different nations, all the journalists and photos needed to be there. So he went then to the police and says, I am from this country. Can I go through? And they said, nay, not you. But then, and when you, I don't know what you felt in Triggerfish when he started to say the story, I first said, do I understand English? Why he's talking? What do you want? The geez, and then he's talking this, and finally about his car, which was burnt. It was 3 days old. I couldn't get it really, but it worked.
I think it was a neurolinguistic programming technique of pattern interrupt.
Yes. Then yeah. The guys was maybe whatever happened there on connection again. I says, here's your car. Let's come go over there and watch history. Wow. So he could manage with us the story to go there. And then when Mandela came out then, he left the car, there was a police car, and he's standing there with normally only police officer. And there far away were whatever the hundreds other photographers, and he totally alone, standing really in front of Mandela, and this famous photo is done when he came out. Incredible. And Mandela was from South Africa. Mark Peters, not really born, as I was living in kind of from this country, South African. And I think it's so incredible that he got the photo, not the international crowd. Yeah, someone from this country. So that is, what do you call it, synchronicity, whatever you call it. Wow. Yeah, that this, who is organizing this, that this all can happen? This is incredible.
But yeah, but again, that was his focus on his why.
Yeah.
Why was he there?
So
even though he was told, you know, that it was late, there was 300 photographers way behind the barrier, he couldn't go in.
Yes.
He didn't hear any of that.
Yeah.
He just was focused on, somehow I know I'm going to get that photograph.
And so tuned in that suddenly it's not a planned crazy story. It flows through him, this crazy story, that the other guy says, okay, come, let's watch history together. But the story is in Owen. Yeah. And now he has the photo, the film. Yeah. And then going to Cape Town to the press agency.
Associated Press. Yeah.
And then get them to send the photo. Why should they send the photo? Then Newsweek comes out. Yeah. Why that? Well, what is the reason for that? And then he said, you can have the photo for free. Yeah. And send it to everybody. You can sell it around the globe under one condition. Now send it to New York. We want to be the first one. Then you can sell it. And on 99% of all magazines on the world, this photo is really incredible. And here, waterfront, there is a shop, Mandela shop, kind of, that you can buy those kind of T-shirts. Luckily, Mark gave it to me, and I didn't need to buy it. But, gosh, what another story.
Yeah, phenomenal. Again, it's just, well, when you've got a big enough why, the how will take care of itself, you know? And he's just so tuned into that frequency, I think, you know. But also, we're discussing of, you know, in this day and age, you've got digital cameras and taking photographs and stuff, and you get to see the photograph before you put it on a magazine cover. But back then, how did he know whether he had a good shot or not? How did he know if it was focus or not?
It was amazing, the answer.
Yeah.
This is hard to imagine. I guess one story was when in Congo or whatever, he was in there, and then to get, like, Saturday is Newsweek coming out, and to get the film out of the bush. He said, I need to find the plane for my doctor or whatever. Who has a plane? Who can fly it out? Who can fly it there? Then who flies it then to London? Who brings it on the Concorde that it goes to New York and everything? Gosh, how much time pressure also to have it on time in New York. And then they have the film, and then they go there and just da, 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 and then they finally look, okay, what do we have here? Is there an interesting photo on it? And asking him, how did you know? How could you know? Always is kind of shaky. Hopefully there is a good photo. And he knew. He knew.
Yeah.
It's just like he's so tuned in, knew everything, yeah? And not only tuned in, or maybe it's important to be so tuned in, no doubt about it.
Right.
No doubt about it. Yeah. I get it. Just think, and because you have no time to think the stories with the car and everything. No doubt about it. He is doing it and is extremely, and you feel the power. Well, when you're sitting next to him or standing next to him, what a full presence it is. It was really interesting. Super.
It's almost as if he was operating in the zone, same way that athletes are when they operate in the zone, and they say that time stands still.
Yeah.
You know, they're just focused on that next shot or that whatever. That's the same sort of feeling I got from listening to Mark, that he was living and operating in the zone. even though it may have been a war zone, but really the other zone of it's almost like 100% certainty, you know, that this was going to be, this was going to be the best shot. He's going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And imagine what our lives would be like if we spent more time living from that state of certainty, of not living in that fear and doubt that allows us to, or keeps us from, you know, going after our goals, that keeps us playing small. If we could all adapt that razor sharp focus for certainty, how much our lives would be different.
From different angles, the really interesting story. Because we say, oh, he was in wars and he was three times sentenced to death. So there's one point to look, is he sentenced to death? Is this a problem for him and how he is reacting then? Or because he is marked and in the zone, he dares to go to situations where even this can happen. That he is the guy to escape out of these situations. Because this story, we just heard today someone who says, it's always we need to figure out who we really are. And he used the example, am I Brian who sets the alarm clock to 6 o'clock then? Or am I the Brian, the 6 o'clock Brian who touched the snoozer? Yeah. So, and here Mark is a 6 o'clock guy. He is it. So he can even go in this dangerous situations. And in those situations, when he says, well, fear, oh gosh, I hesitated for simple things. Oh, should I go there? Should I this? Should I eat that today? In the restaurant, should I order this or that? Oh gosh, so many invitations to hesitate. Yeah. And he's never doing it. He just said, one bat and did, and that was also when we did the photo then, and just said, what you do. It was always totally clear. And that's why he could also escape with his Jimi Hendrix story that, where they put the, rubber wheel or just on OS arms with petrol and set him in fire.
Yeah, the necklace thing. And it's the death by necklace. Yeah. Yeah.
And when he then said, okay, no, I have no other chance, I take my knife to go out and made it happen. But so that there again, surrounded by a lot of people, he finds a way out. This is incredible. And then the super crazy, he jumps in the car, and that is the son of Bishop Tutu. I said, so and if you would make a film out of it, nobody believes you. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
But I think, you know, when you interview enough of people who have become very successful in life, they have a similar story.
Yeah,
that people wouldn't believe the story of what they went through to make it happen.
Yeah.
And yet they somehow find a way.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at so many of the top sort of motivational speakers that are out there. They all had stories of, you know, impoverished childhoods and broken homes and were told they would never go far in life. They had learning disabilities or whatever. And yet somehow they were able to shut out all of that noise. And focus.
Yeah, but they had wanted to go. They were out of the norm already, so somehow this is an advantage. Yeah, in this case, who made it? Because if they don't decide to suffer and be the victim, then they have a big advantage. Because if you're in the norm and so programmed that it's so much harder to escape, then that is a difficulty to do this.
Mm-hmm.
When you just said this. Try to translate this with what Mark is doing also. He knows what really to focus on. What is the purpose here in the situation? What it's all about? And tuning in, not being in his zone, only though he tuning in and gets the information. And just recently this week, I had a talk with someone. Most people, and there was a group, and they agreed, most entrepreneurs says, I did this in this difficult situation, I made a decision by intuition. And did you ever hear an entrepreneur saying that I did this decision by intuition? And everybody said yes. So what is the conclusion? Did you immediately decide, I need to learn intuition? I want to learn more about that. No. We listen to that. And the more successful people tell you that. No, we don't care. And like I said, speaker. There's a survey that says 2 weeks after, what do you remember about the speaker? Oh, yeah, it was 7% that say his words. 93% is maybe energy, body language, da, 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 da. So next time you prepare for a speech, what is normal people doing? 100% on the 7%. How crazy is that? So, and that is, for me, one of the biggest lessons here from Mark. Focus on what you really want. No hesitating is this. And even those extreme situations, you can get things done. And having extreme special moments also when he was with Mandela and Bush in the White House. The three in the garden behind the fence, hundreds of photographs with lights. And he was, who is the guy next to the presidents? Mark Peters. An incredible guy. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you, Wolfgang.
For this wonderful time again on the Take Lessons, Pick One. And, you know, the best is yet to come. Be inspired.
This was another episode of Winspiration Wisdom and Information to support you getting out of illusions, false identifications, limiting beliefs. We all have the power and potential to be more, do more, have more, give more. Reality is what is possible in the universe, and the best is yet to come. If you want to dive deeper into possibilities of creating the extraordinary future, go to winspiration.global or to wolfgangsonnenburg.com. More information and some free downloads like the email program Dream Goals Reality or a copy of the book The Best Is Yet To Come can be found on the UK Health Radio website under the Listen on Demand and Presenters section. Join us again next week on the Winspiration Show for more wisdom and information to create your extraordinary future.